BetOnline.com.
All right, welcome back. More of the Connor Abber Show. You're on 1620 The Zone and 1620thezone.com. The roster overhaul continues for Nebraska football. They do it on the fly, really, in the last 5 months. And for more, we now chat with Mitch Sherman of The Athletic, who joins the show. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Connor. How you doing?
Good. So, by my count, it is 14 players out of the transfer. That's not including Marcus Washington, who there's been some reports that he's committed. I don't think anybody has been able to get in contact with him. Seems like a difficult thing to do. But potentially 15 guys who are brought in. And it seems like, Mitch, this is the interesting part to me, almost all of which are going to be expected to contribute for Nebraska this year. And that's a really significant deal on the fly.
It is, yeah. And, you know, they're not all when we think about transfers, and the thing with Washington, yeah, I mean, we'll wait till we hear it from him. Generally with a commitment, you know, unless the guy's signing, and these are just commitments. I mean, these from O'Shawn Mathis on down through the rest of them that have happened this spring and you know, going toward the summer, these guys are not – they're not tied to Nebraska officially until they
right.
until they get to school. Which could be in the summer or in most cases, it'll be going to their first, well, I think when they go to practice in July, then it'll be official. Nebraska can put them on the roster and it can be announced. But when you've got a guy like Washington who has not yet announced it himself, we'll tap the brakes. But it does seem that it's going to come. And with all of it, with him and with all of these other 14 incoming Division I transfers, and that doesn't include the three junior college guys. So you could be talking about 18 transfers,
yeah.
Maybe with more to come. You know, we kind of look at them at their like highest possible point. you project them to what they could be, and that's not what Nebraska is going to get from every one of these players. You know, it's no different than recruiting high school players, where there are some who work out and there are some who don't. So if you can go above, I think, 50% on a hit rate with transfers, and these numbers are going to still sort themselves out as we get into this era of the transfer portal and teams that remake themselves that way. If you can go above 50%, I think you're doing something really good. And I compared what Nebraska's trying to do in a story I wrote last week with what Michigan State did
yep.
last season. And I think the Huskers would take the nine-game improvement Michigan State made from 2020 to 2021. They had 15 Division I transfers, the Spartans did, and there were five or six who were big-time, immediate, you know, starters most or all of the season, including, of course, the Doak Walker Award winner,
yep.
Kenneth Walker. So you need aim high. Aim to do something like that, but it's not going to be 15 for 15 with the immediate contribution.
Yeah, and then you pull it out and you look at kind of the overall view, and this is what I was saying earlier today, that the roster is in flux right now, and it's going to there's you had to supplement with transfers, and I don't even know if the supplement would be the right word to use. It's your roster is kind of built off that. Right now with the guys that at least mm-hmm. you're going to play on the field, at what point do you think, or is there even a window for Nebraska's roster to even out or settle down? Because ideally, I don't think you want to be taking 15 a year, but they've kind of been forced to this time around.
Yeah, I think you want to be in the single digits. And it's always going to be in this new era of college football. It's going to be a big component in roster construction. But You want to, and you some transfers that you take, like a Kane Williams, played 1 year of college in Tommy Hill, 1 year of college at Power Five programs. You know, you do balance out somewhat when you have him, and you compare those guys to a Stephen Wynn Jr. who is a fifth year senior coming in. So, or a fifth year junior, I guess, coming in. So there's a way to balance it out through the portal. But I mean, if you're talking about balancing through high school recruiting, you know, a little bit of supplementing with the junior colleges and supplementing with the 4-year players via the portal, this is probably not the ideal way to do it long term. It doesn't necessarily lead to easy transitions within the locker room. You know, the chemistry is going to be something that either comes together for Nebraska in kind of a remarkable way, and people are talking about this season like something magical happened, inside Memorial Stadium, or it's, and I don't mean impossible. I just mean like, it would be kind of a remarkable turn of event if Nebraska was able to take this much talent from all these different programs and package it together and turn it into something special. It could happen, but it's not usually what we see in college football, or this could really damage the team's ability to be one and be together. I think that's got to be a concern for these coaches, and there's importance in not just having these guys here as much of the summer as possible so they can get to know each other, this team can get to know itself, but then also just having a really productive month leading up to that trip to Ireland.
Especially in a league where, I mean, in division, at least for now, where so much emphasis is put on continuity and the teams that do it best maximize that piece of it, like Iowa and Wisconsin. It just, it seems like such a gamble, but when you think about it, I mean, this was really the only way Nebraska, you know, could have built their roster this year, right?
Right. With all that Nebraska lost a year ago, or, you know, after the 2021 season, if there was a chance for this team to be on par talent wise with the rest of the league, it had to go like this. And credit to this coaching staff for making it happen, because I wouldn't have thought on December 1st that we would be sitting here in May talking about 15 transfers, all of whom look to have some kind of a real upside, they didn't just bring people in to fill spots on the roster. Now, some of them are probably going to have those roles when it all shakes out, but I think everybody that is coming from the portal and from junior college was brought here for a reason, because these coaches felt there was a need, and these players have an ability to help this team. So, great. They've taken that step. They've gone to a place that I'm not sure a lot of people believe they could go 6 months ago. Now you need to put it together and make a team out of it. You know, in the Big Ten, especially in the West, teams that win this division are generally the teams that are better than the sum of their parts.
Yep.
That's just what we see historically with Wisconsin, Northwestern, Iowa. Minnesota hasn't won the division, but in two of the last 3 years, you can definitely say that that's the path that the Gophers have taken in building their team. Can this Nebraska team do that? And if it does, then it's going to be a really good team, because there are some good individual, a lot of good individual parts now that the roster is coming into focus.
What if they decide, you know, what if this does work out this year and they get a couple more years or whatever happens after that, but Scott Frost isn't fired after this year, and they say, hey, you know what, this is a model that kind of works for us, and we're going to create this sort of niche in this division where everybody else is, you know, going with continuity and all that stuff, and we play it, you know, like we did this past year. Do you think they could or would do that, or do you think they still are going to say at the end of this, no, we want to get back to being a developmental program and do it a little closer to what some of our conference counterparts and how they do it?
I don't think it's realistically sustainable to do it year after year.
Yeah.
I mean, you can look at the path that Nebraska basketball has gone in trying to rebuild its roster year after year through the transfer market, and it hasn't worked to create success once. So football needs to get over that hurdle and do it once, and then I think you go back to primarily building your team through traditional recruiting, whether it's high school, a little bit of junior college. You're not going to take this component out by any stretch. This is here and it's here to stay. But the numbers that we've seen this year, I think, have to be a one-year situation for Nebraska.
Yeah, I think so too. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic is with us. You wrote about the just the athletic department as a whole, really, this weekend before things turned out the way they did for Nebraska baseball. This is something that we've been wondering for a long time. Is there a connecting thread in why these programs on the men's side are, you know, have bottomed out the way that they have? And I almost hesitate to say bottomed out because you never really know. But is there a connecting thread, and what is it? Or is it just this all kind of happened at the same time?
Well, they've all had turnover at the head coaching position in the last 5 years. So the all three programs, you know, baseball, of course, had the rise a year ago at this time and looked like it was the program that was over the hump and was going to take off quickly with Will Bolt and, you know, maybe take a step back in that direction next year. I would say baseball next year is going to be in the same boat that we see with the football program right now and what we've seen with the basketball program generally since Fred Hoiberg has taken over, where, okay, it's time to completely remake the roster through transfers and probably more of the junior college ranks than what you see with all of the Division I transfers in the other sports. But they're going to go through something now where it's a complete roster makeover. I don't think, Connor, that they're – You can draw a straight line through these three programs and say they've all struggled for this reason, and you know it's something that is plaguing the entire department, because the athletic department is men's and women's sports. They don't operate independently, and all of the conditions that baseball, football, basketball operate in, the women's sports are getting that too. They're getting the same, you know, training, the same medical attention, the same academic support. They're working with a lot of the same people, and they're having success, while the men's programs, and not all of them, but these three premier men's programs that get most of the attention, they're not having that success. So I do think in some way there is an element of coincidence, but then you also have to look at the change and the turnover that these programs have had, both with the rosters and of course at the head coaching spots, all going through change since the end of 2017.
Mitch, you like our producer here, Josh, got mixed up in the whole Purdue baseball, Nebraska baseball mess this weekend.
I threw myself into it. I voluntarily,
it happens. It happens from time to time.
It's a good way to spend a Saturday.
Yeah, many people have said this. Here is my thing. How does the Big Ten not step in somewhere? It seems odd to me that they're, and you made the point about the conference not caring about baseball. I think it's really relevant here. I guess what's your read on that entire thing? And it's just so odd to me that the conference doesn't say, hey, stay in town. We'll take care of some things for you.
Sure. I do think it's a little bit of a slippery slope for the conference to all of a sudden jump in and say, you have to play this game on the last weekend of the year, when they're not doing that in March and April in the early part of May, that there are games that are getting canceled because of weather or travel curfews, with the decision being made solely by the schools involved. So it would break with the way that the Big Ten administers baseball to step in on the last day of the season or the last 2 days of the season and say, hey, Purdue, you better get those games in, or, you know, you might have to forfeit or something to that of that nature. Now, if you're the Big 12 or the SEC and you're generally overseeing the sport throughout the season the way it's supposed to be overseen, then I think it's easier as a league to step in and get involved the last weekend of the year. But, you know, the Big Ten couldn't even get its standings right on the website going into play. I believe it was Friday after the Thursday night game. I was writing that piece that you mentioned earlier about the failures of Nebraska's men's sports, and was checking out the standings on the Big Ten website. They were wrong. Michigan State's record was wrong. It was you know, it was right in the box scores on both schools sent out, but it was wrong on the Big Ten website. So yeah, it's one little thing. Somebody made a mistake, but it's representative of how the league treats baseball. And I understand it's not a moneymaker. It's nothing as far as revenue compared to football and men's basketball. But I mean, this is the Big Ten. They should care about all the sports that are out there. And I'm sure, you know, Kevin Warren would say that they do, but
yeah,
the track record suggests otherwise. And the events of this weekend are, I think, just another example. But it would have been a tough spot, I think, for the Big Ten to step in, especially on Saturday, and say, you need to play. If Maryland's got to stay, that's fine. Play it on Sunday. That would be a tough spot because it's not something that the league normally does. Maybe a little easier if it had said on Friday, play a doubleheader. That to me maybe would have made a little more sense, mm-hmm. if the league had ordered them to play a doubleheader on Friday, but obviously that didn't happen.
Mitch, thanks. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Take care.
Mitch Sherman of The Athletic with him on that. That's for sure. What a weird... You got uneven records, right? You're supposed to all play the same games. And I know it doesn't always work out that way, but yeah. All right, we'll come back. We are running a little bit late here. We got to get to the poll questions and tell you what to watch tonight before we get to the crossover next on 1620 The Zone.